Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we're going outlaw.
Hell yeah. I'm going to break this rusty cage and run.
Wait, are you still going to do the podcast with me? All right, Patrick. It's
Hi, Jim.
It's morning on the deck.
It really is morning.
I got my coffee with only a small layer of pollen. You might hear some lawnmowers. Or what else we got going on here? Trimmers,
yeah,
some landscaping, chainsaws, things like that. That's what happens in the suburbs.
Yeah.
People come out and they get all their yard work done.
Yes. It's a nice day.
Yeah, I'd rather be outside today, so
yeah, it's beautiful.
The noise doesn't bother me.
I'm good with it.
Okay. You're listening to Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And this week, we're going to do something that I think music fans really enjoy.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about cover songs, right?
We are.
Covers Week.
Yeah, Covers Week. And it's kind of a bottomless well of material and inspiration and something that music fans love to endlessly debate back and forth. Everybody's got their own favorite cover songs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure people will suggest some to us coming out of this.
Back in the old days, we used to talk about it occasionally.
We did, and we each have four selections for this week, and we'll dole those out, like you said, like vitamins.
That's right.
Right? One a day.
Your multi-cover vitamin every day this week.
And I had my four picked out, and then I forgot one of them. Like you said, it is a bottomless well. It's not like I can just go back and go, like, what was that one cover song? Like,
that was
as
all
if
I
there
had.
Aren't a million.
No. You can go find them anywhere.
Right, so I forgot one, so I have a replacement one.
Okay.
But, so who knows if I'll think of that one or not. But I'm sure we'll come back to this topic from time to time,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, and I'm sure our listeners will help us out by weighing in with some suggestions of their own.
Is it okay if I kick this off?
Do it.
I have a specific reason to play this first one.
Okay.
It is a cover, the original, by a band whose singer just passed, sadly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about Chris Cornell.
Yes.
And
rest in power.
And he, of course, was the lead singer of Soundgarden. And back in 1996, Soundgarden got the Johnny Cash treatment with the song Rusty Cage.
When the forest burns along the road, like God's eyes in my headlights, when the dogs are looking for their bones, and it's raining ice picks on your steel shore, I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break my rusty cage.
Okay, so that song, Rusty Cage, was actually written by Chris Cornell.
Yeah.
The original was released in 1991 on the Bad Motorfinger album, which was their big sort of breakthrough album right at the sort of grunge explosion.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And 5 years later, Johnny Cash covers it. And I think, you know, as people are paying tribute to Chris Cornell now, I think that was a great tribute back then to be covered by the great Johnny Cash,
God,
right?
Absolutely.
At the time when he was doing some really interesting work with Rick Rubin, right?
Yeah, and just listening to that, I think you begin to consider how both Johnny Cash and Chris Cornell had these really, really powerful and distinctive voices, both of them. I mean, even at the end of his life, Johnny Cash never lost that ghostly, powerful timbre to his voice. And Chris Cornell, the same thing. I mean, he was noted for, you know, such a wide-ranging, powerful voice that he had. You know, he was even more broad and more capable of hitting notes than even somebody like Robert Plant, who was one of his obvious sort of, you know, precursors in rock music. But man, to be covered by Johnny Cash, yeah, that's really a high compliment.
And it definitely has, the song has that sort of outlaw quality, yeah, to it, right?
Absolutely.
It just fits perfectly. I, you know, it's one of those things where you wonder when Ruben brought that to Johnny Cash, did he think like, is this for me? You know, hearing the original, the sort of, you know, sort of hard rock, almost metal kind of qualities to it, right? Is this for me or what? But he made it his own. And it's also, it's a song that you hear from time to time on like movie trailers, mm-hmm, or, you know, things like that, right? Mm-hmm. It has this real quality that puts you in a space, in a frame of mind, right?
Yeah, and that, from that acoustic intro to the way it just sort of slams into gear there, it's pretty incredible.
Right.
Yeah, great choice, Jim.
Okay.
I hadn't thought about that one for quite a long time, but that's really a good choice.
Okay, well, thank you. So, you know, this is starting off well.
Yes,
I think.
Starting off great.
Well, it's all the coffee. Let's take a break, we'll come back, and then you have a pick.
I do.
For day one, mm-hmm, all right. Hey, Patrick, I need to tell you something. You may not be aware of this, but it is extremely cool. You used to produce a zine.
I did.
And for that zine, you would like write it up and make copies and take the copies to places, right? And try to get people to pick it up and read it.
Right. Take it to Tower Records so they can throw it in the trash.
And nowadays, you can do the same kind of thing just by typing into your computer, and it goes out around the world.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
It's like our own little Rock in the Suburbs fanzine.
I just discovered that this exists, and you can do these things. And so what we've done is we've created a website for the show.
It's called suburbspod.com, and that's where you go to find it. And you see all kinds of different things. Chiefly, Jim, a rundown of each show, the music we played, some ephemera. And you can stream it right there while you're looking at the ephemera. There's also some pictures of us drinking beer and recording the show.
And I want to caution the listeners, please be careful when you're typing. You want to go to suburbspod.com, not suburbsbod.com.
No.
That's a totally different site.
Or suburbspot.com. That's a different site, too.
Yes. So suburbspod.com. Mm-hmm. We'll see you there. Okay, we're back on the patio. There's some workers next door doing some...
It's looking good.
Some trimming of
it's
some...
it's going to look great when they get done.
There's a woman pushing a stroller with two kids in it.
Waving.
Oh, she just waved.
Hello.
And where were we? Oh, yes, cover songs.
That's right,
and
cover
you're going to make a pick.
Well, I am going to make a pick, Jim, and I want to pick up on a theme that had been running through our shows for...
decades?
Many weeks now.
Oh.
And that theme is The Clash.
Oh,
and during my research for The Clash and subsequent letters and thoughts, memories, I came across this guy called, I'm probably mispronouncing his name. Maybe you know it. I don't know. Somebody out there probably knows it, but I'm going to say it. Rashid Taha.
Okay.
Have you heard of him?
No.
Okay. I hadn't either until I came across this bit of research. And he was is an Algerian singer who moved to France when he was young. And I want to read a little excerpt of something I came across that he told The Guardian in 2007. He says the following. It was September 1981, and I bumped into all four members of the band just before they were due to play a theater in Paris. I gave them a copy of a demo tape by my band, an outfit from Lyon who combined Algerian ra with funk and punk rock. They looked interested, but they didn't get in touch, so I thought nothing of it. Then, a few months later, I heard Rock the Casbah. Maybe they did hear it after all, he laughs. The incident has since gone down in French rock legend. Huh. So, this is interesting, right? He claims he met him kind of before Combat Rock came out, slipped him a demo tape by his band that sort of had some Algerian and punk and funk influences. And then, a year or so later... here comes Rock the Casbah coming out. So I thought it was really, really interesting.
Right. This is why many artists refuse to take demo tapes from people.
No,
right?
This is very, very true.
Yes.
Yeah. And obviously we have no idea if they ever listened to it or not.
Right.
But sort of, you know, it makes a nice legend. It makes a nice story, right? And we never let that get in the way of the truth here in rock and roll legend land.
That's right.
But what is interesting and what is fact and documented is that there was a cover that Rashid Taha did of Rock the Casbah.
Okay. Title of the song is Rock El Casbah.
Rock El Casbah.
But he doesn't sing it that way.
No, he doesn't. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's a little beated up. It's got a little more forward motion to it. This was recorded in 2004. And I like it. It's very cool. I like that sort of desert. I don't know exactly what the instrument is at the beginning. Maybe it's a violin or a fiddle of something that kind of sets this ghostly kind of tone to it.
Right. Yeah. That Middle Eastern sound, right?
Exactly right. Combined with a little. Spaghetti Western feel to it, right? Which is very Clash. And I also learned while doing some reading that Mick Jones once played this on stage with Rashid's band. Yeah, in 2006 when they were playing in London. He showed up on stage and played this version of Rock the Casbah with him.
Who hasn't Mick Jones got up on stage and played with, right? It's like
that's a
great
question.
We keep hearing about these Mick Jones sightings since we've been talking about the... about the Clash, right?
He just shows up and says, "Where's the action, man?
Come be on our show, Mick."
Yeah. I think we could get him.
Jump up here on the deck.
Might see him walking down the sidewalk one day.
He had a hedge out in the suburbs over which you never could see. Yeah.
So there you go. Talking a little bit about Chris Cornell and
I like that.
Events that happened a few weeks ago and also our Clash theme that's been running through our shows in
the past
month or so.
All right. Yeah. I got my notebook. I got three other selections. So
okay, me too.
We're going to continue Covers Week. You can, of course, hear that on Rock in the Suburbs, which is on all the big podcast platforms, or many of them at least, including Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, Stitcher, and TuneIn.
TuneIn.
Those are some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you should also read the excellent show notes that Patrick puts together at suburbspod.com. And
when I remember to do them. Yeah.
And occasionally we also have some other little articles and things you can find there. I just wrote something about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
My music perspective.
Back.
Yeah.
I encourage everyone to go read that. And we're going to try to continue to do more of that.
So check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Suburbspod.com. Of course, we want to hear what covers you like and why. And the best way to get on the show would be to call our suburban party line.
It is
612-440-1984. Don't leave us hanging on the telephone. And if you'd rather write to us, that's fine. You can email us rock@suburbspod.com. And then, of course, you can also find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Yeah, we're on Instagram now.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any more photos?
Not yet, but
we're
getting some
photos, but I don't know how to log on.
Yeah.
So I better figure.
I'll have to give you that info.
I better figure this out.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can find any of those at Suburbs Pod.
Yes.
Nobody took that name. It was easy to get.
So that's why we grabbed it.
That's right. All right. So I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you again with more covers tomorrow.
layer of pollen.